Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to yet again one of your pre-season streams. You are joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode, and we are also joined by the legend that is Praz FPL. How's it going?
Going very well. First question, can everyone hear me? Yeah. Based on the theme from last week, I think we figured it out. So I'm doing very well, and in keeping with the theme, we're going to do this short and snappy and quick, so I'll let you get on with what we're doing today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, 20 minutes. We've got to try and keep it 20 minutes. We can go to 25 if we're struggling a little bit, but we'll see how we get on. So we're going to be talking about the top 12 players from last year. We're going to be talking about whether we think they can repeat what they did last year, and kind of just talking about how they did, whether systems have changed, all that kind of stuff. So without any further ado, we're going to show you the list and we're going to get straight into it, because I think that's important this week and that's what people are here for. So here we go. This is the list of the players. We've got Salah on top. We've got Son, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Bowen, Cancelo, De Bruyne. Then there's Kane, Robertson, Van Dijk, Mane, Madison and Saka. Now, obviously, Mane is blacked out there because, unfortunately, he's not going to be in the league next year, which is a massive shame because, you know, it's been a joy to watch him in the Premier League. So really, we're talking about 11 players here. Now, here we go. Salah, first player up there. It seems crazy that we're even saying, can he repeat? Because he's done this since he's come in the league, hasn't he? He's been either the highest scoring player or pretty much the highest scoring player. But the second half of the season, he was not the player he was in the first half of the season, was he? So talk to me about Salah then, mate. What do you feel about him? Is he going to be the top player again next year?
I think he will be. Look, people are going to say that Nunes is joining, Mane is leaving. What does that do? Look, Mane already scored 16 goals last year. So if Nunes comes in and replaces Mane, you're basically, the engine works the same as it was before, even if it's Jota or Nunes. Salah's going to get a break over the World Cup. So it's actually the opposite of what happened last year, where he went to AFCON, he was really tired. We're hoping that this is going to be the first half Salah repeated as a second half Salah, because he will get that break that others may not. So for me, he's going to be nailed. The question is, will there be space for him? Because there's going to be Haaland, there's going to be Son, there's going to be Kane. And so will there be moments where, fixture dependent, will we actually say, actually, you know, I might go Son and Haaland instead of a Salah and a Haaland?
Yeah. And a lot of people have been talking about Diaz. A lot of people have been saying, like, actually, if Salah comes in at 13 million, 13.5 billion, you never know, especially if we're thinking about the first half of the season, is going to someone like Diaz, if he's 9 million, 9.5, is that money worth losing? And worth gaining, I should say, actually. And when I think about the fact that Diaz isn't the player Mane was yet, he's not, you know, he easily isn't. We weren't doing that with Mane, were we? So is it sensible to do that with Diaz? I'm kind of edging on no.
Yeah, same. Simply because you will go for a Diaz when Liverpool have good fixtures. When Liverpool have good fixtures, you'll also go for a Salah. Yeah. So I think for me, the Diaz discussion will be who the second or the third best pick is. I think with Salah, the comparison isn't Diaz. It's not Trent. It's basically Haaland or Son or Kane.
Yeah. And big thing with Salah, obviously, he's captainable as well, isn't he? You captain him in those weeks, which is brilliant. So we're going for a yes.
Yes.
Yes, like it. Right, big one next then. Son. So Son, obviously, I wouldn't say it was a breakthrough year because he's obviously been great in FPL recently anyway. But I mean, this was a big year for him. 11.2 million by the end of the year. There's no reason to believe he's not going to be around 11 million. He is going to be one of those premiums. Such a different player once Kulusevski came into the league, I feel, as well, because Kulusevski was basically doing the Son role of before, and Son was the one that was actually saying, right, I can get forward, I can score all the goals now as well. Obviously, your mate Andy absolutely adores Son as well. Is he going to keep going next year? Because he's not going to be as cheap as we've had him before, is he?
He's not going to be as cheap, and he's not... I'm trying to think how well Spurs have done in this transfer window with Bissouma, Perisic. You know, we're hearing maybe Eriksen could come in. Does that actually mean that the wingbacks are more involved and the talismanic status of Son and Kane is basically less so? So will you see basically Perisic score, crossing the ball for Kulusevski to score? I'm a little bit more skeptical on Son, and this is so unfortunate. Every year, Son is a differential. Every single year, people go, I might go for Kane instead. I might go for a Haalander. Unfortunately, look, he could repeat it, but I think he will continue to be really low owned. So I know it's sort of sidestepping the question. I think he'll do well, but he just kind of really, really outperformed last year. I'm not too sure that he does it again. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, do you know what? I think you hit the nail on the head there earlier when you said about the fact it's just been Son and Kane for years, and it really has. And we're starting to get to the point where it might not just be them. And Kulusevski's now nipping in with a few goals and assists and getting bonus points from him. Perisic, we think he's going to be that attacking wingback. He could be doing that Cancelo role in terms of getting goals and assists and getting bonus points as well. And all of a sudden, it just takes a little bit of shine off Son. He doesn't take penalties. That's a big thing with midfielders as well. And if you're paying 11 million when Salah's 13 million and you're thinking he gets penalties and he's got that history of doing it, I think there are a few question marks over Son. Just a few.
Yeah.
But I think it's somewhat, I don't think it's as clear-cut as Salah, is it?
No, it's not. And it'll be the price. 2 million goes a long way early in the season. So let's say if Spurs' fixtures are way better than Liverpool's, maybe that's a question. There'll be a lot of people. I mean, I'm thinking of Andy Martin, for example, on Twitter. There'll be an anti-Salah brigade where people will go, if I'm going for Haaland, I'm going to captain Haaland. So why should I spend 13 million on Salah? So I think it'll be very interesting. But then the question for Son, similar to how we talked about Salah, is you'll first be comparing Son with Kane. Do I want that forward spot or do I want the midfielder spot? And then you compare Son with the Haalands and the Salahs. And because you can have, I think logically, you can only have two of them. And do you pick the penalty taker in Kane or not? I mean, look at XG, right? I mean, in this table that you can see for listeners, we've got, you know, the appearances that they made, but also the subs off. And the subs off is important because the five sub rule is coming on. Son was subbed off 15 times over the season out of 35 appearances. Does that mean it'll increase if it's five subs? Maybe not. Obviously, he's already getting subbed off, so he's not one that'll get impacted. But to be honest, if he's not getting the 90 minutes and then you have the penalties as well with Kane, I think the jury's out. So I think I'll end it with a maybe for Son.
And look who Conte's signing. He's been linked with Richarlison, Rafinha, got linked today. You know, all these players where he's basically tired of saying, I can't keep relying on these players week in, week out. Kane especially, they relied on him for years and years and years. We're going to get onto him later on anyway. But I think I think Son is more of a question mark than Salah. That's not saying Son is going to be bad. It's just that he's got a few more question marks for me.
Yeah.
Trent then next. Trent, he's probably been the greatest defensive asset we've seen in FPL in terms of longevity. 8.4 million he finished. The age-old thing of if he was a midfielder, you'd own him for 8.4, which I think is fair enough. He obviously is on a lot of set pieces. He scores the odd goal. He gets quite a few assists in the season as well. Fully justified. I can't see the system changing. So I think he's probably what going to come in at 8 million. I think it's going to be justified. I can see him doing it again, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy's scoring 200 points for you. 8 million is nothing. And people always will. This season is going to be amazing from a Liverpool point of view because people may not go for the double defense. And if there's a 0.5 or a 1 million difference between him and Robbo, people might just be tempted to go Robertson instead of Trent. So we'll come to Robertson as a separate discussion. But I think standalone, look at the XA data that we have here. You have basically Trent as number one at 13.0. The next highest is De Bruyne at 7.5. I mean, this is huge. The gap is huge. And he got 12 assists out of his 13 XA. he's probably one that is getting you, you know, the bulk of the clean sheets because Liverpool is a top two defense. And the guy is creating the most chances, including outfielders. So, look, for me, it's a no-brainer. For me, the number one name on the team sheet is not Haaland, is not Salah. For me, it's Trent.
Woohoo! I like it. It's really hard to go against that. They need to make it interesting in terms of owning. Robertson's so good as well. And we'll talk about him in a minute as well. But they need to make it interesting this year in terms of the pricing because, like you just said, TA straight on the list. 8 million, and he's getting you almost 200 points somewhere. I think there's no reason to believe he's not going to return. He's done it year in, year out, and he's got all the different ways to points as well with his free kicks and the way he gets his assists and bonus points as well. So, yeah, love him still. Now, the most interesting one that we've come to already, and this is only fourth of the way down our list, is Jared Bowen. Absolutely incredible year last year. He got himself 12 goals and 17 assists in the league, which is just ridiculous. You know, nobody expected that to happen. He was very much a flash in the pan player before. You know, he'd have a few good games and then he'd completely go off the boil. But he just carried it on going. And David Moyes completely trusted him. He played in pretty much every game. 6.9 million he finished that. I don't expect him to be that price this year. But can he keep it going? Now, I think this is a really interesting question. If fixtures are nice to begin with, should we be going with Jared Bowen in FPL?
I have no answer to this until I see the fixtures. But in your assumption that the fixtures are nice. But look, let's talk 38 game week. So, you know, if you're saying over the season, I have doubts over Bowen. And I'm going to be, you know, West Ham fans are not going to like it. Because look, who are they looking to sign? I think Lingard is up there in terms of one of the players that they're looking to sign. We remember what happened when Lingard was at West Ham. He basically hogged a lot of the assists and the goals. Do I see a Lingard and Bowen mix up in terms of, you know, one assisting the other? I don't. I think both of them work with the forward. So it's Antonio or Bowen, Antonio or Lingard. So I think there's going to be a lot of point sharing if there's somebody like a Lingard who starts more regularly. Now, I know Benrahma has started there. Lanzini has started there. But those guys aren't as greedy as a Lingard. So we'll see. I think that would be a big signing. And if that happens, the only way I see Bowen becoming a massive asset is if he plans to basically join a top six team where he starts. So if he goes to a City, dead asset. If he goes to a Liverpool, dead asset because he's not going to, you know, play over 2,000 minutes. If he joins a Man United, he could play on the right and get all the minutes and then he would be a good asset. What do you think?
I think he's going to continue, but maybe not at the level he is. And I feel like the pricing is probably going to hurt him quite a lot. So I feel like he is probably at the right price for his potential because he's basically really overperformed this year. And actually, if he came in at 7.5, I think that's perfect for him. I've got a horrible feeling he's going to be 8 or something like that. And then all of a sudden you're a bit like, I don't see Moyes changing things. He's basically their talisman now, isn't he? Which you look for those talisman players and teams. If Lingard signed, I think that's quite interesting because I'm wondering whether Moyes would sacrifice Bowen for Lingard being their main man like he did last time. You know, Bowen wasn't that player last time, whereas Lingard came in, he was comfortably their best player when he was playing in terms of performance and outcome. And I'm just wondering whether Bowen can still do it. I mean, what a differential. If you start with Bowen, he's just had an incredible season and he comes in. He was scoring against good teams as well. You know, it's not like even fixtures were that big of a thing for him. So I think he is probably the most interesting person on this list, isn't he?
I agree. And his XG, basically his underlying data supports that. He got 12 goals off an XG of 13. So he actually underperformed. He could have scored more. His XA, though, was way high. I mean, he had an XA of 4, but he got 17 assists. Now, 7 of those were fantasy assists. So basically either getting a penalty kick or getting a, you know, free kick assist. But ultimately, even getting 10 assists that are, you know, open play assists, that's a great outcome. I don't know if it's sustainable or not. So I'm a little bit bearish on Bowen. It's just because people will kind of mark him now. They know that he's the guy, if nothing else changes at West Ham.
So hopefully, if they do sign someone like Lingard, that's actually quite good for it because it opens up that space for him again, hopefully. Possibly. So we got Cancelo up next then. Obviously, Cancelo had an incredible season with Man City this season. Arguably one of the best right backs, you know, in the world up there with TAA, isn't he? And obviously, he can play left back as well. It just depends where Pep wants to play him and what injuries they have. didn't haul masses last year, I wouldn't say. And I think that's why you've got that price discrepancy between him and Trent, which is fair enough. He's also not on the free kicks, not on the corners and things like that. So for 7.2 million, which is what he finished off at, do you feel like there's any reason why Cancelo can't carry on what he's doing? For me, I'm wondering whether, can he get better?
He could. He had an XG of 5 and scored just a single goal. Mm. But the main thing with Cancelo is he got over 3,200 minutes last season, which is a big thing. I mean, City, it's all about X minutes. And that's in comparison to about 2,300 minutes in 2021 season. So it's basically he started 36 games, was never subbed off. Subbed off once, never came on. So he always only got a rest. That's just insane numbers for any player at City. He got the most minutes. Will he get that again? I don't know. I mean, he will, if they sign a Cucurella, for example, you have Walker, Cucurella sharing the minutes. If he starts as many minutes, you expect him to beat the score. He should easily score 200 points. I think he will. And if you were going to put me in the spot, which is basically the point of this, I think he will score 200 points again. But I would be really wary and watch his minutes as usual with any other City asset.
See, he's one of the only people on this list who I don't think has performed or overperformed. I feel like he's underperformed. I didn't own him for quite a bit last year. There was a moment I didn't own him. And it's so scary not owning him because he's constantly in the box. He's constantly getting forward. And I don't know how I wasn't more punished when I didn't own him. And I just feel like he's got to have one of those seasons where he's just going to explode and he is going to get those 5-6 goals. And as soon as a defender does that, their total obviously goes up 30-40 points, doesn't it? And it's just a massive bump for them. And I feel like when you consider, Trent is going to start at 8.5, Cancelo is going to start at 7, I would have thought.
7.5,
something like that. And you think he's the one, I feel like, has still got that upside of he could outperform his price.
100%. I mean, you're getting as a baseline 19 clean sheets, assuming he starts 36 games again, right? 19 clean sheets in itself is amazing. I mean, most players don't get 19 returns as midfielders. So then you add on to the fact that this guy has an XG involvement of about 11. So that's 30 of attacking returns, or basically points that you can expect in fantasy Premier League over the season. That's very, very big numbers. So I think he should be a shoe-in regardless of fixtures as your one City asset that stays constant.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Kevin De Bruyne are up next. Obviously, they have now got Haaland up front. So whereas De Bruyne has obviously sometimes been getting forward in games, they've now got Haaland, who is going to be that focal point up top. This, for me, this hurts him for goals. It hurts him for goal threat. But in terms of XA, this should help him a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, he had a very bad season for actually assists. He got only,
8 assists.
Eight assists this season, which is terrible. I mean, he got 23 two seasons ago, and last season he was injured quite a bit, still got 12. So it actually was a really poor season. But when we watch City, how many times do we see a Jesus missing a KDB assist? I mean, it was almost our Sterling missing
Sterling,
a KDB
assist. That's what I was thinking of.
It has to be. It has to be the case. And I think with KDB, the question isn't, will he have a season like this? Because I think he's a 200-point guy. Mm-hmm. The question is just the goals will be converted into assists, because 15 goals is the highest he's ever got for City in a season. I don't think he gets 15, like you mentioned, Andy, but he will make it up with assists. And the question is, the dilemma we will have is, let's say they're playing Fulham, for example, or Forest. Let's say they have that fixture. We've had seasons past where people think about being Son and Kane. Maybe we'll go KDB and Haaland for that run if City have really, really easy games. I think that's when KDB will come into it. I think for the moment, Haaland will be the go-to City asset and KDB will be slightly ignored in the beginning, I think.
Yeah. Robertson up next. Obviously, we've already spoken about Trent. Robertson, for me, was a hero by the end of the season. He comfortably outscored Trent, and he does have it in his locker to be able to do that. It's the thing that's hard with Robertson, obviously, is that he doesn't have he does have some corners, but most of the time it's Trent taking them. But Robertson, he finished off at 7.3. He's going to be priced less than Trent, which obviously gives you that bit of a dilemma as to which way to go. Do you see Robertson slowing down? He's been fairly consistent for the last couple of seasons, hasn't he?
He has. My only red flag with Robertson, so the numbers, I completely agree. In fact, in 29 appearances that he had, he almost, well, he outscored what he did the season before. Granted, that was the season when Van Dijk was injured, but 186 points at 29 appearances is absolutely insane. It's better than Trent on a per appearance basis. Question mark, with five subs, is he one of the guys that gets impacted? Because Tsimikas looks pretty good. He's a very able replacement, unlike on the right. So that's my big concern with Robertson, even though he will get a nice rest over the World Cup. Scotland haven't qualified. Does he basically, you know, miss out on it, get these 55-minute subs because of this five-sub rule? That's my only question mark with Robertson.
Yeah. And I mean, it's worth talking about. Could it be good for him if he's getting subbed off after 60 minutes and he, you know, banks that clean sheet? Yeah. But obviously, you're playing a dangerous game there. And it's, for me, obviously, like I did, for the last 8 weeks, I own Robertson and not Trent. It was lovely because it went really well. But if you choose to own Robertson over Trent, don't watch Liverpool games because Robertson, yes, does get forward, but Trent is the danger. He really is all game, every game.
I can see a lot of people switching Trent to Robertson around the World Cup because Robertson will obviously miss out. And Robertson is going to always be that dilemma of the third Liverpool slot, which, you know, now we have more options like Diaz and Jota and Nunes.
I've missed the main man, haven't I? I completely missed him. I missed Harry Kane in the middle there between De Bruyne and Robertson. Harry Kane, I mean, what hasn't been said about him over the last couple of seasons? You know, he knows how to score goals. Every manager that comes in knows his worth, and Conte's no different. Overshadowed by Son last year. Will he continue to be overshadowed? Obviously, he has penalties. We've all been saying that for weeks and weeks and weeks, but Son has just continued to outshine him. So what do you think?
I think if the exam question is, does he match this season? 100% Kane matches this season. I mean, he got only 192 points. I say only because Kane got 240 points the season before. So 192 points for his output, I think he was fantastic. He'll continue to be fantastic in any system, whether it's Perisic who's getting the assists, whether he's assisting the Kulusevskis or the Suns. He will get points from various means. And he should easily get a 200-point season. The question is, how many will actually own him in that 200-point season? Because we don't have all the money in the world, right? I mean, that's the big issue.
He's going to be the forgotten man. I'm saying it now. People aren't going to be able to afford him because pretty much everybody's going to be going for Haaland. And Kane's going to be forgotten because you're going to go for Sane in the middle. Son in the middle. We spoke about this last week. For me, I don't see any reason why. The team is only going to get better. And they're improving in midfield. They're improving in ways of creating chances for Kane and scoring goals around Kane as well, which is only going to make Kane better. So I see him getting somewhere between 190 and 240 points next season. But like Absolutely. You said, I don't think many of us are going to get his points unless they have nice fixtures. Van Dijk's next. We've already spoken about Robertson, already spoken about Trent. Is Van Dijk the forgotten man in terms of he's always up there, but nobody ever owns him because the upside isn't there, is it?
I think FPL need to price him better. I think there needs to be a 1.5 million gap. You know, remember like Laporte and Cancelo. Like Laporte was 7.5, Cancelo had reached even 7.5 at a point. And 2 million really people said that, look, this outlay is not worth the attacking return. So I think Van Dijk still gets attacking returns. You know, he has decent numbers. He got 3 goals, 3 assists. But it's not enough for me to pay. You know, I'd always pay that 0.5 more for a Robertson. That's the main issue here. And now that we have more options at Liverpool, he's going to go further down the pecking order in terms of, you know, is he going to be the go-to guy? So I have my doubts whether he meets the threshold of 183 points. He very well could, because 18 clean sheets is very much achievable by Liverpool again. So is he a good option? Sure. Are we going to own him? Probably not.
Yeah. And it is all about that price. There is no reason to believe Liverpool can't keep as many clean sheets as they have done the last couple of seasons, because them and City are just so far above in their possession and everything. So there's no reason to believe that, but the upside just isn't there. But there's no reason to believe he can't score just as well. It would be interesting if they made him like 6 million. I think that would be, or 5.5 million. That would be very interesting.
5.5 or 6 would be perfect, actually.
Yeah. Mane's next. Obviously, he's not going to be in the league anymore. And then we've got our two wild cards at the bottom. There is a reason this isn't a top 10 stream. This is a top 12 stream. And that's because we needed to put some really interesting players in here. So Madison was next, which surprised me, actually. I was really surprised he was as high as he was. 181 points last year, comfortably one of his best seasons. Didn't play an awful lot towards the end because of injury and because they had so many games as well. But if he is priced around 7 million, he's going to be an interesting one to look at. Leicester, they're proven in the league. They do like attacking. They know how to play attacking football as well. None of Brendan Rodgers. They've still got the same manager next year. No reason to believe he can't be a key cog and do really well again next year, is there?
100%. I mean, he's the guy. Leicester aren't in Europe. Madison is at the periphery of the England squad. Maybe he makes it for the World Cup, but he's not going to be playing or flogged during the World Cup. So this guy's going to be rested. He's going to start pretty much every game because he'll want to prove himself for the World Cup as well. He plays in both the systems. So Leicester play the five at the back or the four at the back. In both of them, basically, he has a role, whether it's number 10 just behind or off the left. So look, he's up for a big season. I hope that FPL don't overprice him. Because, you know, people might sort of tend to pick a Saka or a Sancho or somebody saying, you know, they're a top six player. Maybe that team has a better chance of winning. But I think Leicester are a good shout for a top eight this season. So there's no reason why Madison shouldn't be picked over a Saka or a Sancho or Foden, Kulusevski. I think these are all very similarly priced, similar potential kind of players. I think Madison has a good shout to be ahead of those guys if they have good fixtures.
See, I'm going to stick my neck out now. You ready? I think Leicester are going to struggle next year. Okay. I feel like there's a lot of teams that are improving, and I'm struggling to see their improvement at the moment. I feel like Madison is wanted away for quite a while, and I think there's even tout he could leave this year. You never know. I feel like they still haven't replaced Vardy. I don't think Iheanacho or Daka have really done that at all. I feel like Brendan Rodgers has struggled at times when things have been getting a little bit tough. And I feel like they're going to struggle a bit. So I think it's going to be, I don't see him reaching 150 points. I feel like he's going to struggle to get to there. Personally, I could be wrong.
Fair enough.
Injuries are there as well. So
yeah. If they lose Tielemans as well, that's a big blow if they don't replace him. So I hear you. He could really work or he could completely flop and we forget about him. I get that. And it's a difficult top eight this year, man. I mean,
yeah, it is exactly.
Some good teams in the league. So I it's very possible.
Mm. And last one, my boy Saka, absolutely loved owning him this year. 179 points, which is comfortably, I mean, he took a massive step up this year. He's become Arsenal's talisman. Obviously, it's very interesting the fact, you know, they had Martinelli, Smith Rowe, and Nketiah, all those kind of players all rotating. But Saka was that mainstay. He played 36 times and two as sub. So he basically appeared in every single game last year. He looked shattered by the end, but with a, you know, pretty clean summer, hopefully, there's no reason to believe he shouldn't hit the ground running.
He could. I'm more bearish on this one than you. So basically flip like the Madison thing. Look, I just think Arsenal are a young team. They'll probably go for the Europa League, so they'll be stronger. I don't think Arteta can afford just having a B team in the Europa League like some of the other teams do. So I think if you think that Saka is a main part of their team, you will see reduced minutes. So it's basically flipped as what Leicester were doing last year with Europe. You may see Arsenal do that. And they have a lot of options. He may or may not be on pens. We don't know. He was subbed off 20 times in this list. Easily the highest in terms of the person who was subbed off. 11 goals is fine. 9 assists is fine. But if they price him up to an 8, 8.5, I don't think he'll be as pivotal in our teams. 180 points is a lot. I mean, he needs to really... The season before, he got 114 points. I know he played at left back in some of them, but... 160, 170 is more like what I see for Saka.
Yeah, and he takes the corners on the right, I think, doesn't he? Which I think is all he does. But it's a bit of a shame for that. He did take a few penalties towards the end. We don't know who's going to be on pens, do we? Because obviously Lacazette's now out. And Saka took a few, but Martinelli did take one towards the end as well. So that's a little bit up in the air at the moment. If he is confirmed to be on pens, I think that does bump him up quite a bit.
Absolutely. But I think they'll sign a striker and that striker will be some greedy player who wants pens. Jesus sounds like...
Yeah, does Jesus take pens?
Nobody at City takes pens.
No,
I don't know.
I was going to say. So that'll be interesting. If Jesus does come in and he fancies being that pen taker, then yeah, I think Saka could struggle a little bit to maybe replicate the 180. But, you know, talisman for Arsenal with the fixtures are nice. Not bad.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I think there's just the Thursday, Sundays. I just think it's a young squad. They'd struggle. Arsenal, I'm generally bearish on their chances. Definitely not top four, but it's top six team. So,
yeah. Lovely stuff. We didn't do too bad. 27 minutes. We did okay. To get through 12 players, I think we've done all right. thank you very much for everybody in the chat that's joined us. Sorry we couldn't talk too much in the chat. Literally, we had to keep it all on the screen as much as possible. Praz, thank you for joining us this evening. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, pleasure. Yeah, I mean, I have this timer in front of me, so I think we did okay. But yeah, it's good talking about these guys, and doing this early without kind of clouding the judgment with prices is really good. So I enjoyed it.
Do you know what? That's massive, actually. Not having fixtures and not having prices sometimes makes you just think about the player, which is quite nice. Also, as well, if ever you want to, you know, chat to me or Praz on Twitter, drop us a question and we're more than happy to answer it there as well.
One last thing, sorry, Andy. If people want to check out this table, it's on the members area. If you just filter into stats tables and you filter with my name, Praz, you'll find this stats table, but otherwise screenshot it or whatever.
Yeah, lovely stuff. We will see you again next week. We will be here again next week with a different topic, which we'll tell you a little bit more about as the week goes on. So thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye.
Bye.